I'd like you to turn in your Bibles to James chapter 3. The title of my message this morning is What to Do with Words. You probably know that James chapter 3 has a lot to say about the tongue and our speech. However, Scripture as a whole has a whole lot more to say about that as well. I'll have you turn to James chapter 3, even though we'll be looking at a lot of different passages. James chapter 3 are portions that I do not have recorded for you on your notes. So if you want to go there, that'll help you out as we move along through a number of different scriptures this morning. But it is an important topic. We obviously, probably each one of us, talk every day. And God has a lot to say about what comes out of our mouths. Everywhere we go, people talk and we hear people use speech and use their words in destructive ways. I mean, it would almost be impossible for us to go a day or two to not hear somebody use their language in a way that is hurtful to others in different avenues. Verbal abuse, gossiping, lying, foolish talk, we could go on and on. We're going to read in just a little while that this must not be the case with you and I. We people who have been changed by God, our hearts have been changed. We have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And even this morning we were talking about the difference that that should make in our lives. So we'll take a look at that. But, you know, words come out of our mouths so quickly, we often find ourselves having to go back and apologize for what we've said more often than we would like. We know that when things get stressful in life, when the pressure is on, maybe when we are being mistreated and somebody's using their language to mistreat us, we are greatly tempted to use our speech to hurt others in return. But again, it must not be like that with us. As God's children, we must use words along with all other things in life for His glory. So we'll look at that this morning. We need to harness the power of our speech to make it an instrument for God's glory. Last Wednesday night, our specific topic was giving, but our brother started out with talking about being people of God's Word, having God's Word dictate everything that we do in life, how very important that is. And I appreciated that as we talked about it. This is one more of those areas. Our whole lives must be dominated by the Word of God, and what we say and how we use speech, our words that God has given us, is very, very important to Him. I will tell you, we will scratch the surface this morning of what Scripture has to say about this speech that God has given to us. But what we will look at are very important things. There's a lot more. The Word of God has a great deal to say about it. Talks about what is acceptable and what is not, what is wise and what is not when it comes to our speech, and what gives glory to God and what does not. So again, we want to look closely at harnessing the power of that speech that God has given us to make it an instrument for His glory. So what I wanted to do first, before we start looking at other more specific scripture, is just talk about the power of our speech as defined by the Word of God. What does God say about it? And then we'll look at that more closely. So we communicate in many different ways, but it's our speech, our words, that we use the most. There's verbal communication, there's nonverbal communication, facial expression, body language, different things like that. But if we want reliable information from someone else, we would more often than not like to talk to them face to face. We would like to hear what they have to say to us so that we can, as best we can, get good information from them, something that's accurate. And it's clear from God's plan for His creation is to be able to communicate, to converse, to understand one another. A large part of that understanding and functioning together comes from our speech. Remember the Tower of Babel. What happened when people couldn't understand each other? There was great confusion. Of course, part of God's plan to disperse people that He created. But just one example of how important it is, speech is, for us to communicate to one another, to show us that was God's plan for us. So the words that come out of our mouths are speech. That's our speech. And the Bible has much to say about these words and the power they possess. We'll review these passages as a reminder to us that our topic is a serious one. What the Bible says about our speech. It's one that we need to constantly be aware of and improving upon. So, in light of that, looking at the power of our speech as defined by Scripture, I have for you there Proverbs 18 and verse 21. Here's the first one. It says, "The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit." So here's a very somber warning, I think. Very strong, and we'll see a lot of Scripture like this. The tongue has the power of life and death. And those who love it will eat its fruit. What does it mean by those who love it will eat its fruit? Well, the tongue has the power of life and death. The tongue, the speech, the talking. People who do it, people who talk, and that's all of us, need to understand that there are consequences, the fruit of what we say. Notice the extreme here. The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it, the tongue, the speaking, the talking, those who love that, will eat its fruit. This is a warning proverb. What you say will have consequences in life. This is Scripture. It's the definition of speech by Scripture. So as we move through a number of these passages this morning, notice the connection of our speech to extreme effects on others. Keep that in mind as we look at these passages. What we say and the effect that it's going to have on others. And here we see it, the very first one, the tongue has the power of life and death. Next one, Proverbs 12, verse 18. "Reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing." Here's a little bit different angle on our speech and what the Bible has to say about it. Not only extreme effects, but complete opposite outcomes that the tongue has the ability to produce. We see that in 12:18. "Reckless words pierce like a sword." That's completely opposite of the tongue of the wise bringing healing. So here in this proverb, and there's more like it, the words that come out of our mouth can be very destructive and very dangerous to people. But also, the words that come out of our mouth can bring healing to people, have a very positive ministry in people's lives. See what the Bible is telling us about our speech? It's extreme, the outcomes are extreme, and they can be extremely negative, and they also can be extremely positive. Think for just a moment about things that have been said to you. You probably have experienced both. Things that have been very hurtful to you from somebody's mouth, and then things that have been very helpful to you from somebody's mouth, from their speech. Proverbs 15:4 says, "The tongue that brings healing is a tree of life, but a deceitful tongue crushes the spirit." So here we have the same idea, positive and negative. And of course, as we go through these passages, we're wanting to evaluate our own speech. Careful not to think about somebody else necessarily and think to yourself, well, you know, so-and-so should really hear this. Let's think about ourselves and say, is this me? Am I talking negatively? Is this me? Am I honoring God with my words? So with that, now let's go to James chapter 3. And we could really read the whole passage, but I'm going to focus on a few verses a couple times this morning. And I have verses 6 through 8 there as a reference for you. But let's go back to verse 3 and we can start from there. It says, "When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man, but no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. And we'll stop right there for just a moment. So, you know, that's, I used the word extreme just a moment ago, and here's an extreme passage. What are we to say about passages like this? Not only that, but the Proverbs that we've read just a few moments ago, it talks about it can pierce like a sword or it can bring healing. It talks about destruction or great positive effect. And here James says, you know, it is itself set on fire by hell. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. Often I think we, I don't know how to put it any different. We don't take Scripture serious as we should. When we read things as drastic as this, we should be taken aback and say, wow, this is really, really serious. So is it really serious? Was James, under the direction of the Holy Spirit, getting carried away with the description of the tongue? Was he embellishing for emphasis? I don't think so. I mean, this is God's Word. Are we convinced of that? This is God's Word. And it is telling us how very serious our speech is. I don't think there's embellishment. I don't think there's overemphasis. I believe, and I'm sure you believe the same as well, that this is the truth. And we need to see it as that. Anytime we open Scripture, anytime we open the Bible, we need to be prepared and to be hopeful that God will bring change into our life. And with these few verses that we have read so far, we should understand that Scripture is saying to us, there is important, life-changing truths that you need to learn about your speech. And it is to your detriment that you ignore these truths or think that you can escape their effect on you. I think that that's what these verses are telling us. Just the few verses that we've read so far. Take note and listen, because your speech is important to God. The Bible is serious when it talks about the power of our speech. It should never be viewed as something that doesn't need careful attention. So as we try to define the power of our speech according to what Scripture says, we can say, at the least, is more powerful to help or hurt than we might have thought in the past. Sometimes we lose sight of how powerful our speech is and need to be reminded and praise God that we have His Word and are reminded by it. So I hope that we will be more conscious of what comes out of our mouths in light of what we see in God's Word today. So now that we've established the seriousness of the issue, let's consider how we can be sure to honor God with our speech. And just to remind you again, we need to harness the power of our speech to make it an instrument for God's glory. I believe that that is why this truth is recorded for us in Scripture, to tell us how to use our speech. So the first one has to do with avoiding destruction with our speech. We've looked at some verses already that talk about how destructive our speech can be. James told us it is full of deadly poison. We need to know that when our tongues are that what our tongues are capable of, so that we are better prepared when the temptation to use our speech for destruction arises. And that temptation will come. It does come. So let's consider a few specific ways that we cause damage and destruction with our speech. So this speech, this will be negative for the most part, but it is, again, just warning us, making us aware that there will be times when we will be tempted to do these things, and we need to be prepared for that. And I just picked a few topics. Again, many, many other areas about speech that we could look at, but here are some important ones. First of all, lying. Very important. Proverbs 26, verse 28. A lying tongue hates those it hurts, and a flattering mouth works ruin. Again, let's be reminded that these are not over-dramatic statements for emphasis. This is God's truth. Do not view it as, oh, you know, you're kind of getting carried away there. This is God's Word. The lying tongue hates those it hurts, and the flattering mouth works ruin. Just a couple of things to point out here. Flattery, for one thing, is clearly seen as a negative, and in the context of lying. I mean, if we're flattering somebody, really behind that, I mean, when you're telling the truth about somebody, I don't think that falls into the area of flattery necessarily. Usually when we think about flattery, it's not the truth. So just keep that in mind. But a lying tongue hates those it hurts. So you have lying, hate, and hurt, all in the same proverb there. Let's look at the next one, Proverbs 12, verse 22. The Lord detests lying lips, but He delights in men who are truthful. What does detest mean? We know that means hate. It means the Lord is, at the very least, telling us to avoid lying. The Lord detests lying lips, but He delights in men who are truthful. That's a very interesting to think about. For just a moment, that God can delight in us. God can delight in us. That's a little overwhelming, actually. But that's what God desires in us. Truthful lips, as opposed to lying lips. I will be honest with you. I am tempted to lie sometimes. Sometimes I think to myself, if I don't tell the truth, I think things will be better for me in this situation or in that situation. Or I think to myself, if I don't tell the truth, maybe I can keep myself out of some trouble. The temptation is there for us to not be truthful. I think probably most of us are tempted to not be truthful. We need to be reminded that the Lord detests lying. He detests it. But He delights in men who are truthful. When we tell the truth, even though we think it's maybe not going to work out best for us, it means that we're trusting God, that His Word is true. We will trust God to care for us. Even though we think we're under the gun and we're under pressure, we will still tell the truth because that's what God wants us to do. So there's one topic, lying. We have one more. 1 Peter 3 verse 10 says, "For whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech." Love life and see good days. Whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech. Again, it's telling us that if we live a life that is characterized by, that is marked out by dishonesty, you will not have a life that is a good life. You will not have good days. You will not see good days. Now, many, many people think that lying is not that big of a deal, but to God it is a very, very big deal. Okay? So let's just read that again. 1 Peter 3, 10. "For whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech." Give these folks just a minute to get settled. We're looking at, we're opening our Bibles to James chapter 3, but looking at a number of different topics this morning that has to do with our speech, and more specifically, our main point that we're looking at is the fact that we need to harness the power of our speech to make it an instrument for God's glory. So we looked at lying. Now, on the bottom of page 2, our next area that we want to look at very quickly is gossip. And again, there's more, but just one real quick one, Proverbs 26 and verse 22. "The words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to a man's inmost parts." Now, how do we understand this? I mean, obviously we have to look at it in a negative light because we know that gossip is wrong. So what's it mean when it's like a choice morsel goes down to a man's inmost part? I think very likely is that choice morsels are something we like, right? That's the thing. That's the best part there. And we like that, and so we go for that. So be careful. It goes down to our inmost parts. And maybe that's along the lines of, you know, once that starts, once that gets deep, it's very, very hard to deal with. It's going to be a problem for you. So be careful. If you know the Lord, gossip has no place in your life. He does not want you to use your speech to tear other people down, which we'll see more passages like that. Your speech is very, very, very important to God. Very important. And He warns us about it. He tells us He detests lying. Right? Your life is not going to be good if you're dishonest. He says that in 1 Peter 3:10. Whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech. And do not gossip. You'll be tempted to gossip. You will like to gossip. You will like to hear all the juicy details. And you'll want to pass that on. But don't do it. Just don't do it. Next one is hastiness. And I have four here. We could list very many. But we'll look at these this morning. Proverbs 29:20. You see a man who speaks in haste, there's more hope for a fool than him. If you have read Proverbs, and I'm sure that many of you had, probably many times, you know, there's a lot of Proverbs that have to do with a fool and tell you why a person has become a fool and how the foolish act. Of course, the fool is presented in a very negative light, trying to warn us all the time. Don't be a fool. Don't be a fool. Don't be a fool. Well, look at what this says. If you speak in haste, there's more hope for a fool than you. That means then there's a level of hope for a fool, and then there's something below that. And that's where we are when we speak in haste. Right? What is it to speak in haste? It's not having a measured response to different situations. It's not being wise. It's maybe when somebody's angered you, boom, you shoot something off. Maybe somebody asks you a question and you don't take the time to think about it and give a measured response. Give a biblical response. Instead, what we do is we just respond just like that. So, be careful of that. Those words that come out of your mouth could be very destructive to the person that you're talking to. Just be careful. It's God's word saying, don't say the first thing that comes to your mind. Keep all of Scripture in mind. Give good counsel. Don't respond in a way that is not wise. Well, next one is talking too much. A couple here, talking too much. When words are many, sin is not absent, but he who holds his tongue is wise. When words are many, sin is not absent, but he who holds his tongue is wise. Well, I mean, what can we say with this? We just need to be careful that we're not just speaking on and on and on. Sometimes it's because we like to hear ourselves speak. We think that we're in some ways maybe we look down on other people, and what we say is the most important. Again, measured response. Think about what we're saying. And just continue to talk and talk. If you find yourself talking on and on, you better be very careful. The Bible tells us when we're doing that, sin is not absent. What kind of sin? I don't know exactly, but it could be the gossip that we're talking about. It could be giving bad counsel because we just keep talking, 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 and not making sure that we're looking at Scripture to make sure that what we're saying is what we need to be saying. Next one is Proverbs 17:28. Again, talking about talking too much. Even a fool is thought wise if he keeps silent and discerning if he holds his tongue. Right? There will be times that we need to use our speech. There will be times that we need to talk. But if we're not sure what we should say, it's probably a good time to hold your tongue. It's probably a good time to think about what's going to be said instead of being hasty and just blurting out the first thing that comes to your mind. Now, with all that being said, as we talk about words that come out of our mouth and not talking too much and not being hasty, the best way to make sure that those things coming out of our mouths are right and accurate is to know the Word of God. If we are ground in the Word of God, we have a much better opportunity to use our speech in a way that is honoring to Him. So there's just a few. Avoiding destruction with your speech. Just a few examples. There's many, many more. These warnings are given to us, and the many that we didn't even look at, from a loving God to help us avoid damaging and destroying others and making ourselves look foolish as well with our speech. We should commit many of these to memory. It will be very helpful for us. We need to harness the power of our speech to make it an instrument for God's glory. How often do you think about your speech? Really think about what you're saying. How often do you think about what God's Word has to say about your speech? Very, very important. Well, that was a negative example. There is a lot of evil to avoid with our speech, but there's just as much opportunity to do good. So, secondly, we'll look at the idea of pursuing righteousness with our speech. So, number one, avoid the evil. Number two, pursue righteousness. It's not enough to just not say the things that are wrong. It's good to do that, to not say the things that are wrong. We've been given speech, words, communication to bring honor to God. He puts us in different situations for us to use the speech that He's given to us to bring Him honor and glory. So in addition to resisting the temptation to tear others down, we've got to use that same speech to build others up. And we'll look at a few passages here with this. So Proverbs 10, verse 11. Mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, but violence overwhelms the mouth of the wicked. So here's a great opportunity for us to use our speech. The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life. We understand what that means, right? We can use the speech that God has given us to really have a very beneficial impact in other people's lives. Some of the very spiritual gifts that God has given us revolve very closely around the speech, the words that come out of our mouths, such as encouraging and also the gift of teaching, things like that. So we can be a fountain of life as long as the speech is righteous. Verse 21 in Proverbs chapter 10, the lips of the righteous nourish many, but fools die for a lack of judgment. So again, righteous speech speaks of that speech of being nourishing. What is nourishment? It's things that we need, right? I mean, we eat. Most of us eat every day. If there was a time when we missed a meal or a whole day without food, that'd be a big deal in our life, right? We need nourishment. The lips of the righteous nourish many. What a great testimony. What a great ministry that we can have with these words that God has given us. We can nourish people, and many people do. And Proverbs 25, verse 11 says, a word aptly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. So here's an example. Beautiful apples of gold in settings of silver. Very positive, very aesthetic to the eyes. And that's what our speech needs to be, to have that kind of impact in people's lives. And then Ephesians 4, verse 29 says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. That's negative, but here's a positive. Only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. So look at this verse again, and notice some of the words. Do not let any unwholesome talk, and then, but only what is helpful. It's pretty descriptive guidelines about what's to come out of our mouths. Nothing that's going to hurt, only the things that are going to be helpful. Now, sometimes the helpful things that come out of our mouths have to be things that are maybe hurtful for the individual, but not in an effort to hurt somebody, but guidance and direction, saying, hey, brother or sister, what you're doing is not right. That person might not want to hear that, but at the same time, it would be helpful for them. So I think that's pretty self-explanatory. And then Psalm 51, verses 14 through 17. Save me from blood guilt, O God, the God who saves me, and my tongue will sing of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. You do not lighten sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God. You will not despise. My tongue will sing of your righteousness, O Lord. Open my lips, my mouth will declare your praise. So here, obviously, part of God's plan for us is to use the words that He gives us and the speech that He gives us for His praise and worship. We're obviously to use our words and our speech to thank Him that we are redeemed people. People have been washed and forgiven of their sin. So Let's ask ourselves that same question. Do we find ourselves doing that as well? So we have avoid the destruction with our speech, pursue righteousness with our speech, and we'll close with one more passage, very important as we consider our speech and the words that come from our mouth. And remember, we need to harness the power of our speech to make it an instrument for God's glory. So thirdly, the window to the heart. And I'd like you to turn to Matthew chapter 15, please. Matthew chapter 15. In Matthew 15, we have a fairly common account of the Pharisees trying to find fault with Jesus. They attempt to do this by directing their attack on the disciples in this particular passage. Disciples didn't wash their hands before they ate, and you know, with the Pharisees, tradition was everything, and they lauded it over Scripture, more important than Scripture in many cases for them. And as Jesus often did, he points out their hypocrisy. The Pharisees, on the whole, were much more concerned about outward accolades, recognition by other people, spiritual and physical needs of those around them, even though they were supposed to be spiritual leaders, were not of that much importance to them. And this passage shows this very thing, that they could not discern what was truly important. And that's a person's heart. Our speech is a window to our heart. But the Pharisees, their determination of whether a person was clean or unclean before God was whether they observed the physical traditions. And again, I already spoke of their commitment to traditions over Scripture, and that just kind of showed that their heart was spiritually dead. But in this passage, at Peter's request, Jesus explains to his disciples his statement about what makes a man unclean. So let's start here with verse 10 in Matthew chapter 15. Pharisees at this point had said, "Hey, you know, Jesus, why aren't your disciples washing their hands before they eat?" The idea being, if you don't wash your hands before you eat, the food that you eat is going to make you unclean. And Jesus addresses that to them and kind of points out that whole idea of how they put tradition over the Word of God. And then in verse 10, Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen and understand. What goes into a man's mouth does not make him unclean, but what comes out of his mouth, that is what makes him unclean." Now, certainly they were talking about the law here, and again, the Pharisees were adding things to the law, and Jesus was trying to get them to understand, again, it's your heart. You have all these outward things that you think are going to, along with what you add to it, is going to make you right with God. You need to be dealing with your heart. And that's what Scripture always tells us. Praise God that God has dealt with our heart through His Son, Jesus Christ, and He's changed us. So, He says, not what goes in, rather, it's what comes out. Verse 12, then the disciples came to Him and asked, "Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this?" It seems like the disciples were concerned that Jesus offended the Pharisees. That was not Jesus' concern. But verse 13, he replied, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be pulled up by the roots. Leave them. They are blind guides. If a blind man leads a blind man, both will fall into a pit." Peter said, "Explain the parable to us." "Are you so dull?" Jesus asked them. "Don't you see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the body and then into the stomach and then out of the body? But the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart. And these make a man unclean." So Peter requests Jesus explain this to them. And Jesus tells him it's what comes out. You know, the Pharisees, they're the blind leading the blind. They're not concerned about the heart. You don't need to be concerned about what goes in. That's not going to make you unclean. What tells you whether a person is unclean or not is what is coming out. What's coming out of the mouth? What happens? Why does it tell us that? Why does it tell us that? Jesus Jesus says as much, and he goes on to say it's the actions that you do as well show what's in your heart, but it's the point here is that our speech can be and is a window that allows the condition of our hearts to be seen. Our speech draws back the curtains and reveals either a heart that loves God and wants to live for His glory, or a heart that desires to live for itself. Now, it is possible for someone who... people can fool us. They can use their speech to make us think that they're someone that they're not. But eventually, it will come out that their heart is in a certain condition. A situation will arise, or life, pressure of life will become too much. And then we'll see what a person's heart is really like. It's the same for us, as I mentioned before. What's the condition of our heart? And Jesus says, when the speech comes out, what comes out of a man, those words, you will see what the heart is truly like. For the Christian, for the one washed by the blood of Christ, the window of the heart needs to show one that is consistent with washing and rebirth and thankfulness. Let's go back to James chapter 3. We'll pick up where we left off. In verse 9. James chapter 3 and verse 9. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? Of course, the answer there is no. My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? No. Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. We have seen this morning in the passages that we looked at that we can be a fountain of life. Our speech that we use can be a fountain of life for people. We can nourish others. We can encourage others. We can build others up according to their needs. God has given us speech to do these things, and all these things honor God. There are so many people who need all of this. People who need to be nourished. People who need to be built up. People who need to be encouraged. There's a great need for all of this. In the body of Christ, people hurt. People go through difficulties. We need each other. Very clearly, it's God's plan for our speech is to meet those needs, among other things. Of course, honoring Him and worshiping Him as well. Will we use the speech that God has given us to honor Him? We need to harness the power of our speech to make it an instrument for God's glory. Let's pray together. Our gracious God, we thank You that You have changed us, You have changed our hearts. You've saved us from our sin through the great sacrifice of Your Son, Jesus Christ. So this morning we do use our speech to tell You thank You for that, and we worship You as a God who saves people who do not deserve to be saved. A God who loves His children, and we give You thanks for all of this. We ask that You would help us to take the things that we say very seriously, with the understanding that the words that we have are given to us from You. The ability to speak are given to us from You. And that they do need to be used. As with all things that are gifts from You, they need to be used in response to Your honor and glory. To want above all things, above ease of life for ourselves and good things for ourselves, above all things to use these lives. To please You, be committed to You, and to honor the one who has saved us from our sins. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.